Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. It's probably a passage of scripture most of us have heard before, but maybe we can make a few points, make you think about it a little different than you have in the past. Hopefully you'll leave with a blessing. And, Ephesians chapter 6, we'll start reading there in verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be behind this sacred desk, Lord. Lord, I pray you just give me the words you would have me to say, Lord, and nothing else, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that everyone that came tonight will get a blessing out of the scripture tonight, Lord. May we leave different than the way we came, Lord. We just thank you and praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was preparing for the sermon, I was reading the scripture. The Lord was giving me the message for tonight. I was reading this, and one of the first things that jumped out at me as I was reading it again was that the first armor that the Lord lists here is truth. And I thought, well, why isn't the helmet of salvation first? After all, back in the time that this was written, we had foot soldiers. You know, it was hand-to-hand combat. It wasn't like today where somebody's sitting behind a computer screen playing with a joystick that looks more like a video game than combat. These were all hand-to-hand combat soldiers. And if you think about it, your head is a vital piece. You can live without an arm or a leg or something, but you can't live without your head. I thought, well, Lord, why didn't you put the helmet of salvation first? After all, you have to have salvation first, right? So as I was praying about it and studying, the Lord revealed to me the reason why I believe he put truth as the first piece of armor is that we have to have the whole truth to get salvation. You have to hear the truth of God's word before you accept him as your Savior. The other piece of truth is that we have to know in our hearts the whole truth. We have to have the scripture in our hearts. One example that came to my mind when I was thinking about half-truths or partial truths was a lot of times I hear Christians make the statement, well, I'm just a sinner. I always sin and I always will. They've taken the scripture that says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," and they've twisted it. If we think about that scripture in Romans, "For all have sinned" is past tense. It didn't say that we all have sinned, we all will sin, and we all are going to sin. It simply said that we have all sinned in the past. And yet a lot of people tend to twist that around into thinking, I'm just a sinner, I'm always a sinner. While we always may still continue to sin, that shouldn't be our goal. Our goal should be to stop sinning and being closer to being like Christ the day we die than the day we became Christians. Because when we hear these half-truths and we accept them, as opposed to the whole truth that's in the Bible, we've already set ourselves up for failure before we even put on the first piece of armor. We've already given ourselves an out for failure. We've already just accepted it and said, come on, devil, here I am. I'm going to fail. instead of staying strong and putting on the whole armor of God. So we have to be careful that we have the whole truth as our first piece of armor of God. Not partial truths, not half truths, but whole truths. When you're thinking about partial truths, I tend to also think about gossiping. Because a lot of times within gossip, there's a little bit of truth and a lot of non-truth in it. And you know, a lot of times we tend to base our opinions or our actions on gossip, what somebody else said. Not what we've discovered for ourselves, but based on what we've heard, what the rumor mill says about somebody. When in a raw reality, the rumor probably has very little truth in it. You know, speaking of rumors, you know what the easiest way is to stop rumors from being spread? Next time somebody comes to you with a rumor, you can stop them in their tracks by saying, "Well, that person must be on your mind. Let's pray for them," and pray. That'll shut down the rumor mill in a hurry. It'll at least take you out of the loop of the rumor mill so that you're dealing with truths and not partial truths, or in a lot of cases, very little truth. So our first piece of armor here that the Lord's given us is truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. The second piece that we get here in verse 14, is the breastplate of righteousness. So we've got the truth that's around our loins, and then we've got the breastplate of righteousness. How are we righteous? How do we use righteousness to our advantage? When we're doing right things and doing what God has told us to do, we're being righteous. When we're staying away from sin and we're living and letting our light shine, we are righteous. If you think about it, the Bible tells us that we are to avoid things of darkness. A lot of times in the Christian world, a lot of Christians want to go over to the darkness and see what's there, like they're missing something. But in order to defend ourselves with the breastplate of righteousness, we have to keep ourselves whole and pure and away from the darkness. This verse 15 goes on to tell us that our feet should be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, if we think about a foot soldier that walks everywhere, our shoes, or what our armor on our feet, is a very important piece. Because there's nothing worse than walking when you got sores on your feet. Or walking with the wrong shoes. Walking with new shoes that give us blisters. So it tells us that we need to be prepared or have the preparation of the gospel of peace. If we think about it, God is the author of peace. His peace passeth all understanding. He is the only place that we will find peace. But yet we have to be prepared and have the gospel of peace with us at all times. If we think about the Middle East, people have been trying to make peace in the Middle East forever, and they'll continue to attempt to make peace to the very end. However, there will be no peace to be found because they're seeking it without seeking God. All peace comes from God, and all peace is from God. So anytime we're trying to do anything, we have to have the peace of God. And we get that peace by casting our cares and our problems on the Lord, realizing that we can't do it by ourselves, but it's through His power and His might that He will defend us and take care of us. So we have to have His peace. We can't carry our burdens. The only way we can carry them is to Him in prayer. The other thing about peace is, you know, tells us up there in verse 12 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers and against the rulers of darkness. against spiritual wickedness. A lot of times we tend to take insults and problems that come our way personally, when really we should realize that we're just soldiers on the battlefield. The devil uses people to get to us, because if he can get us emotional, we're probably not going to be very peaceful, are we? If he can get us stirred up, we're probably not going to be thinking, what would Jesus do? We're probably going to be thinking, what can I do to get even? What can I do to get back at this person? And that's the exact opposite of walking in peace. You know, a lot of times when we have our adversaries or our people that just get under our skin, we need to realize that it's probably not the person, but it's the principalities and the powers that are using them to get to us. After all, Jesus came and died for every one of us. But yet, certain people just get under our skin. I know there's a few people in my life that I work with. I can walk into work in a good mood, and within being there 5 minutes, they've done got under my skin. They've done aggravated me. And what happens when we do that? We're probably not letting our light shine for Jesus at that point. So those principalities, it's not the personality of that person that's getting us. It's the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness. They're just using people to get to us. There's people that's put in our path that we can have a choice. We can either let them, the principalities, succeed in getting under our skin and getting us agitated and off of our game. Or we can just sit there and realize that, hey, this is a spiritual war, not a physical war. And stay on our game and remember that we have to have the peace. Verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, where within you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So Paul's telling us here, above all, the shield of faith is the most important piece of armor we can have. After all, it's through faith that we fight every spiritual battle, right? It is not through our power, but through God's power that we fight. Because we do know that those fiery darts of the wicked are going to come towards us. But if we stand behind our shield of faith, our shield will deflect them. How do we actually use our shield of faith? By knowing that God said He'd never leave us or forsake us, no matter how the battle looks through our eyes, by remembering God is all-powerful. Just remembering the past, every situation that we've come through, God's always been right there with us. If we do our part, He's certainly faithful and just to do His part. Because without faith, nothing is possible, right? Because Jesus told us, we have faith the size of a mustard seed, we can cast mountains into the sea. Verse 17 tells us, and it says, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You'll notice we started with the truth, and we're ending our armor here with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We know that the Word of God is stronger than any two-edged sword. So we have to be careful how we use it, because it can cut deeper than anything else. But used properly, the sword of the Spirit is there to help us fight our battles. If you think about it, the Word of God, if we've read, meditated, and studied our Bible, when we need those verses, they'll come back. The Holy Spirit will remind us of what we studied. Things such as, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Greater is He who is in me than he that is in the world. The Bible, God's Word, is here for us. It gives us the roadmap for our life and how to handle our situations. The Holy Spirit is there to remind us of what God's Word says. when we need it. Verse 18 finishes up with says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So he tells us that after we've put on the armor, we have to pray, and that we have to watch, waiting and expecting our prayers to be answered. That's the faith part coming back into it. If we pray but we don't believe it, we're just going through the motions and nothing will happen. Because we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, not yet seen. So with our prayers and watching and expecting them to be answered, we have the complete and the whole armor of God to protect us. And Paul tells us in 19, it says, and pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Even though Paul was a great evangelist for God, that applies to all of us. We all have opportunities to spread our faith and share what the Lord's done for each one of us. But we have to be bold. We have to open our mouth and actually share it. God gives us all kinds of opportunities for us to do just that. But a lot of times we just keep our mouth shut. We don't want to rock the boat. Or we feel scared, or for whatever reason, we don't speak up when we have the opportunity to share what God's done for us. So we need to pray for each one for another, that when we do those, we have those opportunities to evangelize one-on-one, that we'll take them and utilize them, capitalize on them, and not just sit back and say, well, that's a job for the preacher. A lot of people can be brought to Christ on one-on-one evangelism if we'll just boldly open our mouths when the Lord gives us the opportunity. So as we prepare to go and do our battles, and we all know that our battles are going to come, we need to remember that we're not battling not against people, but against the devil. The devil and his principalities are going to use people, just like the Lord uses people. So we need to remember not to get upset or angry with people, but to get angry at the devil. And that we need to fight that battle spiritually, not physically. We need to put on our whole armor of God. We need to have the truth so that we know the truth. When somebody tries to spout off a verse from the Bible and Scripture to justify something, we know whether that's actually the Scripture or if they've taken it and twisted it to meet their needs. We need to make sure that we're still being righteous. We're doing the acts that we're supposed to be doing. That we've prepared the gospel of peace that's in our hearts, and that we're being peaceful. And we need to take our shield of faith with us. After all, if we're saved, we have the helmet of salvation. And if we're reading our Bible, we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Remember to pray for everything. If you think about it, if you read most of these letters that Paul was written to the various New Testament churches, prayer either starts or ends most of the letters. If you think about it, prayer is probably one of the most critical components of anything we do. The book of James tells us that if we lack wisdom, all we have to do is ask, and it shall be given liberally unto us. Prayer is the key to our Christian lives and living an undefeated Christian life. It's probably the one area that most of us fall short in, is spending the amount of time in prayer that we should. So that's my challenge to you as we go through this week. Put on the whole armor of God. and make sure we're spending our time praying. We're asking for that wisdom. We're casting those cares on the Lord. Making sure that we're staying righteous. And that we're staying in God's will. And that we're not getting too busy for God. I think probably one of the biggest weapons the devil uses today is busyness. We can become too busy to pray. We can become too busy for church. Sometimes we just get too busy with religious activities to do the very basics. So I challenge you to pray more this week. All of us can find an extra 5, 10, 15 minutes in our day to spend more time in prayer. Turn off that TV and spend our time in prayer. And that's going to be my sermon for tonight. So it looks like y'all are going to get out early again tonight. But I'm going to ask Brother James if he'll close us out in the word of prayer.